From Sovereign Hill to the Town Hall. 3BA's Big Show. More Ballarat.
Time to shoot the breeze from the bigsmoke.com.au. Alex Chelios, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you for asking. You sound rather chipper and upbeat given the situation in Sydney at the moment. Things aren't going so well for Gladys Berejiklian and the Sydney-siders up your way.
Not going well at all, whatsoever.
No, and it looks like I've got a funny feeling it's going to go on for quite some time. Yeah, very, very sad indeed. But you're going okay despite that?
Yes, I'm all good, thank you.
Excellent. Staying in touch with family and friends, of course, and keeping those wonderful people that you have working for you at thebigsmoke.com.au rather busy, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it is busy, and I am trying to stay connected to people, and it's difficult, you know, but I think that we've learned from last year how to remain there to keep those connections.
Yeah.
Nurtured. Yeah.
And they're so, so important, aren't they? Connecting is a very vital time in people's lives going through lockdown like you are up in Sydney. And we hopefully, fingers crossed, that you're out of it sooner rather than later. But yeah, it's not looking good at the minute. Anyway, we've got a bit to talk about. You have a very fond love of dogs. You've got a couple of your own. And apparently a new study has found that dogs know when they're being lied to. Do you lie to your children?
I have lied to them. You know, things like, well, for example, one of my dogs is quite old. And she forgets that she's already had breakfast. And then she gets very angry that she's not getting second or third breakfast. So I often try to lie and I pretend like the bowl's been there and that kind of stuff. And then also I lie to my other dog, Montgomery, by telling him that if he goes over there, something is there, and then it's me leaving the house.
Right.
Because otherwise he follows me. The dogs know. So this was a study that was done of 260 dogs, and they found that dogs could tell when people were lying to them. And the experiment involved giving dogs information about the location of food. And over time, the dogs were able to work out whether or not the individuals were lying about where the food was. It's a little bit like the dog that's figured out that when you pretend to throw something, that there isn't any ball going anywhere.
Yeah.
And it also is interesting because it allows us to understand that dogs, like humans, have a sense of intuition or sociocognitive ability around how to assess truthfulness.
Many years ago, Alex Chelios, I actually owned a dog, believe it or not. I do not now, but many years ago. And I got home and our dog had decided to rip one of the couch cushions apart and there was stuffing everywhere. And I was absolutely livid. I was very mad, very mad. And I grabbed the dog, put it in a little headlock, and I said, "Come here, you good boy. Aren't you a good boy?" Totally lying because I was so mad with him, but I didn't want him to know I was mad, so I lied.
Yeah, I mean, but that's different to lying about food.
Very true.
When dogs get mad.
Yeah. I get it, and I wonder how many people are listening to this now going, "Oh, perhaps I shouldn't lie to my dog. They'll know."
Rocky knows I'm a liar.
Let's get back to COVID because a new tool has been created that can predict upcoming COVID-19 surges. This tool would have been handy for Sydney right now.
Yeah. Look, so this is a tool that's come out of from researchers in Oakland, California. And it's where they're trying to help health systems predict COVID-19 case surges up to 6 weeks in advance. So the way that they've done this is they've created what they call a COVID hotspotting score, where it examines millions of health system data points to identify the most informative leading indicators of COVID-19 surges on hospitalizations. And then it's that information that allows them to knit together and have diverse streams of data to be able to identify the length of time that emerging COVID-19 activity will happen. So that can be up to 6 weeks in time. And so this can be really important for governments, but also for hospitals when it comes to trying to understand how they, from a capacity standpoint, how they're going to cope and what's going to be up ahead.
This is, I think this is how can I put this? A little too late because, I mean, you know, for the last nearly 2 years now, we've had so many tools trying to work out COVID, it's not funny.
I know, but these things do come over time when it comes to understanding how, I mean, we still don't entirely understand COVID, you know, completely. So we have had to understand and lean on algorithms in the health system. And now, I mean, even this tool has its limitations.
Yeah.
So, for example, it's developed using data from a single health system in a single US region. So it's going to have the ability to understand indicators of global COVID-19 activity for it to really be validated.
Alex, let me just clarify, the tools I'm talking about are the political tools.
Right. I know a few of those tools.
Yeah, there are a few of them, let me tell you. Let's wrap it up this morning with a story that I read with interest over the weekend, and it's about Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis and their kids. And apparently they don't bathe their kids regularly, and there's a reason for that. And some people have come out and they're going, oh, no, you're doing the wrong thing there. But there are some experts who are actually supporting their theory.
Yeah, so Ashton Kutcher came under fire for making comments like, if you see dirt on them, clean them, otherwise there's no point. And so people were quite horrified by that. That was part of a podcast that he had done. And Mila Kunis said that she hadn't been bathed much as a child herself. So that was quite shocking for people. But actually, they did YouGov did a study in the US, and 43% of people said that they didn't even wash their face in the shower when they were having a shower. And also certain experts, so for example, the American Academy of Dermatology Association said that children between the ages of 6 and 11 actually do not need a daily bath, and that 1 to 2 times a week is sufficient. But you should bathe them if you see dirt. So this is quite counterintuitive for those of us who are used to 1 or 2 showers a day.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. Look, bathe them if you see dirt, more so if you see poo, of course. I mean, that's always a dead giveaway that the kids should have a bath or a shower.
Oi.
I've taken it too far, haven't I?
Too far.
I love that line and getting across it. I really, really do. Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Have a wonderful week. Take care of yourself in lockdown. Stay connected, and we'll talk next Tuesday.
Thanks so much.